What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And we're talking with Layla in Canada, who is laying out what she sees as a possible seizure of control of this country. And you were talking about the next stage.
Yes, the Zionists have been infiltrating the U.S. right from the very beginning. If you go back, and it's, I noticed it's on John Stadmiller's site, there's a series where they outline the relationship of Supreme Court justices and their extrajudicial activities. Louis Brandeis and Felix Frankfurter, those books are probably no longer available. I bought a bunch of them for people who might be interested. They bribed Truman to be the first to recognize the partition of Palestine. Now, when I talk about Palestine, I'm talking only about the British Mandatory Palestine of 1922 to 1948 that was created intentionally to facilitate the invasion by the Zionists, who had arrangements with the English. And it is England that, to whom I hold the greatest contempt and hatred, and I'm totally opposed to the monarchy. And the one thing I admired most about the U.S. is that it supposedly overthrew the monarchy. However, what people don't know is that Washington...
No, we didn't overthrow the monarchy. We simply kicked them out.
Okay, you kicked them out. You overthrew their power in the U.S.
On
the surface. But what people don't know is that Washington came from a noble family that had been impoverished and became the financial wards of the Spencer family. And the Spencer family still has the trunk of Washington, who used to aspire to a higher level in the British military, and used to go back and visit even when he was president. And he's the one who promoted Alexander Hamilton, who it turns out was actually a Jew. And Alexander Hamilton laid the foundation for what later resulted in the Federal Reserve. Now,
yes, he did.
Frankfurters, Brandeis and Frankfurter not only influenced and recruited people at Harvard to be their disciples, but they also influenced the man who was head of UNSCOP. He was actually the thorn in the side of the head of UNSCOP, the United Nations Special Committee on Palestine, which was charged with determining what to happen with whether they should partition Palestine, have a federation, or a unitary state. And Ralph Bunche, an African-American, I've got his book, his memoirs. He talked about how... Ivan Rand was a pain in the ass. It turns out Ivan Rand was working for the Zionists. He had been recruited by Felix Frankfurter, who is described as half-brother, half-son to Louis Brandeis. And then I've got another book, 51 Documents, Zionist Collaboration with the Nazis.
Yes.
People, there was a statement on your website yesterday. Anyone who has read 100 books is worth talking to. If he reads 3 books, he's dangerous. And that is the problem. Limited knowledge leaves people capable of being influenced. You plant a seed that may be false, and if they do not research something thoroughly and understand, and the reason I always go back to the history is because nothing tremendous or ominous as what could occur happens overnight. It happens through decades, generations of planning. And so when you talk about rushing out, what are you going to do? You have no organized militia. What are you going to have? Single men running out with the rifle and shooting into a mob of protesters that are favoring the Biden election? And then you get slaughtered. What is the outcome going to be? Just little massacres here and there. Until you have an organized coordinated militia with a chain of command and with a strategy in place, you do not go into any battle. You don't even go into a game, a sport, unless you have a playbook. And you have, you identify the weaknesses of your opponent and you identify their strengths. And that's what the Zionists have been doing. They have infiltrated everything. Not only that, but they even infiltrated Canada with Ayn Rand and numerous other Zionists. Ayn Rand, who was on the UNSCOP committee, finally got Ralph Bunche and the whole committee to agree to recommend partition. And it went to the UNGA, the UN General Assembly. And who was the chairman of that assembly? Lester Pearson. So I have the deepest hatred of the of Lester Pearson and the Liberal Party. And all of this is something I found out only recently when I was investigating the background of Michael Ignatieff, when he was deluded into thinking that he could become the Prime Minister of Canada. He was being punished for what his great-grandfather in Imperial Russia recognized was the subversiveness of the Jews in Russia. And he was defamed. And the Jews that did their publications, their articles on defaming Count Ignatieff were doing it through the Central European University. And who founded the Central European University? George Soros. They were kicked out of Hungary recently by Orban, Viktor Orban. And guess who's the president and rector today? And they moved to Vienna. But guess who's the president and rector of Central European University? Michael Ignatieff. And all of the information showing that his great-grandfather was a true patriot of Tsarist Russia have all vanished. Because it is now untrendy, unpopular to call out the Zionists for what they are and the Bolsheviks for what they are and for what they did in Germany. They destroyed Germany everywhere the Zionists go. Call them Jews, call them Zionists, whatever you want. But the point is that they are basically a political movement. There are many Jews, for example, NKUSA.org. That's Netere Carta. Jews who have always been opposed to the founding of a military state. And there's also the Samaritans that have disappeared. The Samaritan Jews have been killed off by the Zionists because they also disagreed with the Zionist approach. So the Jews have killed off, the Zionists have killed off their own internal dissidents, and the only Jew that rises to the top are those who agree with them. And they have infiltrated all over. And this is why when I say that I am calling from Canada, I am living here because we came here as British subjects. One thing that my parents had the foresight to see was that once the British abandoned their mandate in Palestine and they dissolved the artificially created country of Palestine, then we would be stateless. So we left in 47. Once we knew the UN was debating whether or not to partition Palestine, we left while we were still British subjects, and so we were able to go to any country that was a member of the Commonwealth. Now, terms of what it's like to be a refugee, let me just give you one more example of what it's like to be a refugee. We came to Canada. My parents were not happy here. We then traveled to Mexico, where there were many people from Bethlehem. Then the Mexican government was so corrupt they couldn't be bribed to let us stay there. So on our way back, the U.S. would not let us go through the U.S. to come back to Canada, and they sent us back to Mexico. What did the Mexicans do? My mother, who was pregnant in her ninth month with my brother and my father, were thrown into detention. And we children, I was 2 years old, two and a half, and my sister was five, and my mother was pregnant. We were separated. That's what the Mexicans did, who complain about separating children from their parents. So the Mexicans actually introduced the concept of separating children. So my brother was born in detention. And when we did come back to Canada, and he was once caught with a little bit of marijuana, the RCMP came to my mother and said, we're going to deport him back to Mexico. And she said he was only born there. So, you know, all of this crap about, oh, those poor Mexican children, oh, those poor South American children were separated from their parents. Look to Mexico for the format that was used on people that they thought were illegally in their country. So anyway, please be cautious with regard to when you decide, if you decide that it is necessary to mount a military resistance, make sure it is well coordinated and that you are not going to be lambs led to slaughter, walking into an ambush, essentially. And thank you for allowing me to, thank you for letting me get that off my chest.
Okay, well, thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Don in Arizona. Don, thank you for waiting patiently. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. I would like to talk a little bit about Donald Trump. In fact, I'd like to more or less make a pitch to why people should vote for him. And, of course, everybody's going to vote for whoever they want to. But I can still remember the first time I found out who Donald Trump was. I had heard the name before. This was 1985, I remember, because I was a cook in Germany for the Army. And I was just getting ready to come back and get my ETS and get out of the Army. And I had heard the name Donald Trump, but I didn't really connect, you know, because I didn't live in New York City. But anyway, we got this new cook in the mess section there. It was a little black guy from New York City. Mm-hmm. And I remember he came up to me and he said, "You're Donald Trump, you're Donald Trump," because my first name was Donald. And he,
yes,
for some reason, he wanted to make friends with me, and he started calling me Donald Trump. I said, "Who the hell is Donald Trump?" Because I didn't know, see? And he couldn't believe it. At the time, he couldn't believe that I didn't know who Trump was. Because in New York City, everybody back then, everybody already knew who he was. Now, there's something about this guy. He's a real estate developer, but for some reason, he had something, some kind of pizzazz or charisma or something that went above and beyond that, where people liked him. And this was a black kid in 85, and the black people had nothing against him. They liked him like everybody did, I guess. Some people like him, some people don't.
Well, he does have charisma, and he's certainly a master at self-promotion, as we all saw when he did his own reality show.
Right. He did his reality show. When he was still pretty young, he would make these cameo appearances on TV shows.
Yes.
I don't know whether they paid somebody off in Hollywood to do it or whatever, but he went to a black TV show and did the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He went on that TV show. And nobody, people wonder why black people would vote for Biden. Can't understand why he says if you vote for Trump, you ain't black. Well, that they've never had anything against entrepreneurships and businessmen and stuff like that. But a lot of the Republican candidates, who'd you have, Romney? You know, these people have never associated much, hardly at all, with black people. Romney was a Mormon. The Mormons originally believed that the black people descended from the devil.
Yes.
I think they expunged that from their theology. But then you had, Trump. I mean, this guy, I mean, not Trump, you had the Bushes. The Bushes were from Texas, and they, you know, I'm not saying they're, you know, they are bad, both of them, especially the other guy was bad. But they had no connection with black people that was perceptible. Trump has had black friends all his life. He's made an effort to get the black vote, and that's why he's going to get the black vote. And I hope that I hope Trump wins. And this is one thing you can do that's positive. Yeah, there's a lot of negative stuff going on. I agree that the whole mask thing and the lockdown situation is a bunch of it's tyranny. That's what your friend there, Richie Allen, is real strong on that it's tyranny. The masks are tyranny. Lockdown, and he has a guy on. He has some good doctors on that will tell people exactly what the deal is. Ron Paul is a doctor. He'll talk about that. But yeah, go out and vote early and often for Trump. That's my message, and that's one thing positive you can do. And instead of just whining and complaining all the time, but yeah, the mask thing is a bad. I was going to send you that copy of that book, Mike, but you have a post office box, and you can't send it to. It takes you can't send it quickly from Amazon Prime to a post office box.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, drop me an email and I'll give you my my street address. But, you know, they'll just put it back in the post office box anyway, because we don't actually have a mailbox where we live.
Hello? I don't know how to send an email on that thing. I try to be fine. It doesn't work.
Okay.
But anyway,
all righty, well.
I'll let you go then, and you take it easy. Vote
all right, thanks.
Often and early for Donald Trump.
Well, I wouldn't go the vote often thing. That's kind of a sore spot with a lot of Democrats right now, when Trump came out and said, you know, send in your mail-in ballot and then go try and vote in person to make sure that your vote goes through. And there were accusations of attempting to cheat the vote, which I understand where Trump is coming from, but it was ill-advised for him to say that. Okay, we're going to take another phone call from Chance in West Virginia. Hello, Chance. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello, Michael. You know, my daddy, my aunt, my uncle, and my grandma escaped communism in Eastern Europe in the early 50s.
Okay.
This while my grandpa was thrown in a Russian jail cell. They sneaked through the woods to get to the border of Germany by the skin of their teeth. They were lucky. If my uncle, who was a baby at that time, would have cried, they all would have been shot dead like dogs. Zionism is communism, and communism can only be dealt with by lethal force. Always remember that their ultimate goal is to murder you, not to reason with you. And that's what people have got to keep in mind.
Okay.
And, you know, I got a couple of remarks to make about these face masks. It's starting to really piss me off. You know, why don't all these dopes with these face masks just take them off, hold their breath like a little child with a hissy fit, turn blue, pass out, and do us all a favor? You know, it looks to me, you know, like they must be waiting to hear the words, next stop, Bergen-Belsen. You know, every time we go into town, we feel like movie extras on They Live. You know,
yes.
it's so damn ridiculous. That I can't understand how people can't see through this. And with that, thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to switch over to David in Boston. Hello, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. Hey,
yes.
I enjoyed hearing Layla, and what she says about Palestine and everything is true. About the Palestinian people were Christian people. They even have the DNA of the ancient Israelites. But they were, under the caliphate, they were forced to convert to Islam at the point of the sword. But they weren't originally Muslim people. They were Christians. And the DNA proves that it's not the Khazars, it's not the Jews, these so-called Jews over there that even have the DNA of the ancient Israelites. It's the Palestinian people, and they have the genome and everything else. But anyways, what I was going to say, Mike. I can tell Layla's had a very hard life, but I want to clarify something for Layla. Mike, I hear some kind of ding-dong in there, something. Mike?
Well, not at this end.
What's that? Oh, okay. I just heard a funny noise in my phone. Mike, yeah.
Okay,
well,
that came from the control room.
Oh, should I continue?
Yes, please do.
Oh, okay. Mike, yesterday I used the expression, you know, I said, step out of your boyhood, step into your manhood, and take up your arms. Now, I want to clarify something. Listen carefully. I'm going to give you an example of what it means to take up your arms. It doesn't mean what Layla is jumping to the wild conclusions about. When the British were marching out through Monotomy, what was called Monotomy at the time, Arlington and Lexington on to Concord, Captain Parker of the militia, he told his militiamen to take up their arms and assemble on the Lexington Green. So they're assembled on they took up their arms, you know, and they were assembled on the Lexington Green. And Captain Parker explicitly ordered them in no uncertain terms, do not fire unless fired upon. So
yes,
up arms means to have your arms at the ready. It doesn't mean to just go out randomly shooting people. And of course,
Okay, David, I got to put you on hold. David, I got to put you on hold. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with David in Boston, who's clarifying his comment about taking up arms with the proviso of do not fire unless fired upon, which is still used today. You know, be armed and be ready, but don't initiate. I have to tell you, I am very uncomfortable with all this talk about taking up arms. In my opinion, the next revolution will not be fought with firearms. It's being fought with keyboards.
Mike?
Yes.
Mike, my response to that is, with all due respect, Mike, it's already being fought, but it's not being fought with keyboards. It's being fought with skateboards. While you're fighting with your keyboard, just be careful that Antifa, Black Lives Matter, doesn't split your skull open with their skateboard. Because in a worst-case scenario, you're going to be dead, and in a best-case scenario, you're going to have traumatic brain injury. So I don't think keyboards is much of a... I saw videos of them cracking people's skulls open with their skateboards. So What I'm saying, Mike, depending on this, and there's people that live way out in the country, maybe like you, maybe like Miles up in Maine, living way out, perhaps out. I don't know Miles' circumstances, but being from Maine, there's a good chance he lives out in the woods or something. But some of us still live in these cities. And what I mean, depending on how this election turns out, and we've already seen racial violence in Boston and everything, as Butch Parr says out in Chance's neck of the woods, out in West Virginia, a great preacher, Pastor Butch Parr, he refers to them as Satan's army stalking the land. But when they come out marauding and raping and pillaging your neighborhood and throwing Molotov cocktails through your living room picture window and everything, that's not the time to say, wait, what did I do with my gun? Did I put it up in the attic? Is it down in the basement? I think I put it out in the garage. No, Michael, what I mean by taking up, you ought to find your weapons, have them at the ready for election night, especially if you live in one of these city concrete jungles, and have your weapons at the ready.
A few hours over at the gun range wouldn't hurt either.
Right, Michael, because, I take you as a man, Michael, that would absolutely defend and lay down your life for Claire.
Yes.
And everything. And even your theme song, Michael. I saw a little cognitive dissonance. I don't want to, you got a great show. You're a great, you and Claire are wonderful people, Michael. So I'm just saying this, and you can kind of respond. But I found like a cognitive dissonance in your response about the keyboard and kind of jumping on the bandwagon to bash me about the taking.
Well, let me explain where I'm coming from. Let me explain.
Michael, okay. Just let me say, your theme song is We Will Not Back Down, We Will Not Give Up in the Night Without a Fight. And is that just window dressing, or do you really mean it, you know?
Well, that is the song, that's a song about Palestine, where they're down to the last resort there. But I'm talking about what's happening here in the United States. Now, when Antifa and Black Lives Matter go on out there and they bash skulls with a skateboard, they are destroying their own public support. And no revolution succeeds without the support of the general public. And that's why I think that resorting to violence by Antifa and Black Lives Matter is actually self-defeating. I wish we could avoid violence in the streets. It's already here, but it doesn't mean I have to like it, and frankly, I don't.
Yeah, and another thing I know for a certainty, and I've been bringing this out on Fallon Schultz's show, in these cities, especially these blue cities, don't think that these white race trader pigs are going to protect you. They're always on the side of the white man's enemies. They're always on the side of the blacks and all these minorities, these white race traitor pigs. They're our greatest enemies. Beware of the white race traitor pig. They are deadly. They are deadly.
Well, I don't know. Tell that to the people in Philadelphia.
Huh?
Tell that to the people in Philadelphia who are dealing with the riots because the police officers shot that guy carrying a knife.
Well, and the white pigs down in Philadelphia are standing down and letting them run wild like savages. Ah. No, these white race traitor pigs are your deadliest enemy. Only the white race traitor pigs can defeat the white race.
Okay.
Don't think that these white race traitor pigs are going to protect you. And a lot of people out there know exactly what I'm talking about. They are our deadliest enemies. The white race, and I emphasize white, because they're training all these black and all these Chinese and all these foreign farmers that are becoming police officers. They're being trained by the white race traitor pig. The white race traitor pigs, they hate themselves because they know they're traitors, and they hate you. You're going to be nothing but a speed bump on Trump's WAP Speedway. On Trump's WAP Speedway with his WAP vaccinations, it's going to be administered by the military. Listen, the last thing I'll say, now that winter's coming, I have to take the train. And if I couldn't see the faces of the people sitting across from me on the train, I could just see their footwear. All I see is these big black Gestapo boots. And there's two groups that are working together against the white man, and they're wearing those.
Okay,
boots.
David, I got to let you go. David, I got to cut you off here. We got to take another break for commercials. Back with more phone calls after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really
happened? Welcome back to our show. Here we're going to go back to the phones to Don in Orlando. Don, thank you for waiting patiently. What's on your mind today?
You know, it's pretty odd to me how well you get along with Layla, who claims she's a racial Jew, and you claim that Jew is a religion, and you get along like peas and carrots, and that really disturbs me a little bit. But
okay,
maybe next time when you get Layla up there, you can ask her when these Jews became a people, when they became a different racial line from Noah or Judah or whoever it is, you know, maybe we can get some real questions here instead of, you know, her people used to dwell in this land a long time ago, and that, you know, she's totally right because she's not a Zionist. You know what? The whole thing's crap. The whole thing is baloney, and you're helping it along. Because you yourself said being a Jew is a religion, but yet you're helping this woman claim that she has some kind of a bloodline going through the Holy Land, which she has absolutely zero proof of. And if you want to get her on with me, I'd be happy to take her on, because I'm really interested to know when this line began. Because this charade has gone on so long that I just want to know, did it go on with, did it start with Judah? Because Judah also had Canaanite, he also had Canaanite children. So did it go with his daughter-in-law, which wasn't a Jew because it wasn't of Judah? So we have a real problem here, and these lies just keep going on and on and on, and we're stuck with the same baloney.
Well, you know, the part of the problem, of course, is Israel's propaganda machine, which deliberately blurs the line between an ethnic versus religious definition of what Jewishness is. The fact of the matter is, as to the best of my knowledge, and I've looked at this issue, there is no actual ethnic group that can claim exclusively to be Jewish. That it is a religion. The people who follow the religion consider themselves Jews, but genetic testing has shown that it's basically converted people from other nations. The Ashkenazi are converted from the Khazars, the Sephardics.
We're using this word Jew as if it means the same thing as Jewish, or it means the same thing as an Ashkenazi, or it means the same thing as a Sephardic, or it means the same thing as Judah. I mean, the whole thing is a crock of crap. And when I hear Layla calling in like she's some kind of voice of reason, some kind of voice of truth, and she is she's propagating this bull. And nobody says anything. Dave in Massachusetts, this guy's, oh, he's a genius. He doesn't have a damn clue. So, you know, that's all I have to say. You know, if you want to keep having these people come on here and be geniuses and don't question them on their core principles, it's just the whole thing's a waste of time. The whole thing is just, if you don't weed out hypocrisy, then you're part of the problem. That's all there is to it. Thank you for my time. Good night.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Milton in Pennsylvania. Hello, Milton. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. I hope you're doing fine. I was listening to some of the stuff going on. You know, we've been real patient with what Antifa has done, what BLM is doing, and nobody's really given them hell yet. You know, they come to our neighborhood. You better be ready. You better mobilize your little towns and your cities, because they're already threatening people that own homes if they found that, to make sure they have their house insurance paid up, because they're coming to burn their houses down. Now, you can't sit in your house and let this happen.
Yeah, I agree with that part of it. I think defending your home is justified. The Castle Clause, you know, is law in pretty much all of the states now. And it is a very dangerous time. Now, one of our early callers did point out, Claire and I are living in very rural farmland, and we're not expecting to see that kind of problem here. But there have been confrontations in Evansville, which is about 30 minutes away, up in Indianapolis. You know, we're concerned and cautious and aware.
Right, right. I don't know. A strategy, you know, nobody's going to, like the lady from Canada, I wouldn't suggest anybody go out and play Johnny Reb, you know, and we're going to take on, you know, in the streets. But you have to protect your neighborhood, and that's what I'm talking about. Neighborhood, you know, your neighbor, everybody together, mm-hmm. You know, you mobilize and take care of your area.
Okay.
You know, and if I get wiped out, shot, or whatever the case is, so be it. But But I'm taking a couple with me, I can promise you that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I don't see this sitting back. They're projecting that if Trump wins, you know, it's going to be, you know, a fireball.
Well, I mean, go back and look at 2016 when Hillary lost and just, you know, the liberals went crazy. They even burned up a city that had voted for Hillary. That's how crazy it got.
Yeah, and I don't understand. And I asked a few black brothers here, okay, what's the reasoning behind in the neighborhoods, okay, especially the BLM movement, okay? They go and they burn down a brother's store, you know, something they worked hard for and all. What's that about?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of black-owned businesses have been destroyed in these riots.
Yeah, you're supposed to be sticking up for, you know, the black movement. Well, you're not sticking up when you hurt your brother, right?
True.
It's just plain old. Well, anyways, I just wanted to vent. And I'm glad to hear a couple people out there riled up enough to, you know, start thinking to have a game plan. You know, plan A and plan B, you know?
Okay.
Say hi to Miss Clara.
Oh, Starfire says that say hello to Clara.
It's Claire, and I will certainly pass that on.
Oh, my apology. It's still a nice name.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you, Mike, for your time.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Steve in West Virginia. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Hear me out on this one. Okay, then the initial polling that suggests Biden's up by 10 points, 14 points, knew that what that is, it's cover. It's a loaded as Trump voters, and it's also cover for the Democrats to cheat.
Yes. That's exactly why the media is trying to skew the polls toward Biden, but even they are having to admit the numbers are turning against Biden. And I actually got an email earlier today from somebody who's a former Biden volunteer.
Right.
Hello?
Mike, but now, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you a little bit. You're a little garbled. What do you want to say?
How about now? Am I okay?
You're okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mike, with all this stuff coming out with Giuliani and Bannon releasing all this stuff, here's my opinion. That's cover for what's gonna happen with Trump, and Trump is gonna cheat too. I'm telling you this right now. Trump has got whoever's behind Trump working with Trump. They've got some kind of connection to the internal mechanisms of voting, so they can cheat, and I believe they cheated last time to compensate for a win against Hillary.
Well, they may be. I did put up one article today. I did put up one article today where somebody in the GOP was caught election rigging, and I forget the details, but it's on the front page of what really happened. You know, just trying to keep a fair balance here.
Yeah. So, Mike, it's like what everybody's saying about projection. When you accuse the other side, you tell everybody that the Democrats are going to cheat, and they know they may as well cheat, but then you cheat too. So I think what's going to end up happening, I see a landslide coming for Trump, and one thing, the other thing it's going to do is going to make all these fools in the polling and all these prognosticators saying that Biden's going to win, it's going to make them look really bad. It's going to make them look like fake news.
Yeah, it's so 2016 all over again.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Steve,
Steve,
you're breaking up. Your phone, the phone isn't working, or your headset isn't working, and we're having a tough time hearing you. So I'm going to let you go because we're running out of time on the show, and we're going to switch over to Al in Canada. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Your first caller was Peter, and he was talking about the alphabet soup agencies in your country. I sent you an email with a picture from Garrison of a cartoon.
Yes, I got that.
Years ago.
Yeah, that was great.
A nice cartoon?
It's a great cartoon.
You could actually substitute the FBI in there, I guess, too, right?
Yeah, you can, or the NSA.
They, yeah. It's like that, I think, probably all over the world. Sometimes it's not the people you elect. right? Sometimes it's the people that are there working in these agencies that are supposedly, you know, the employees of the taxpayer. Obviously, they think differently. Layla was talking about, you know, a little bit of history to do with Palestine. I can't remember, or maybe I missed it because I had to reboot, whether she mentioned the Balfour Declaration.
No, she didn't. She did mention Britain's role in the breaking up of Palestine and the partition and the mandate.
Oh, yeah.
I thought about mentioning the Balfour Declaration to her as germane, but we didn't get to that.
Well, you know, I mean, if you want to be, you know, fill in the rough spots, basically this was a response to Lionel Walter Rothschild.
Yes.
And he's the one that suggested that this sort of thing happened. And, of course, we know that the Rothschilds were the bankers to the throne.
Yes.
They basically took over European banking. They infiltrated the United States. They've infiltrated the world. I mean, in 2015... some guy, I believe his name was Richard Rothschild, over in the Netherlands, tried to, or did, actually, in fact, patent a bunch of COVID stuff, COVID-19, to be specific.
Yes.
That was on your website. But anyway, you know, obviously the British government back then, who was actually kind of, you know, run by the throne, they were more than happy to allow this sort of thing to happen. And unfortunately, you know, you can't just put a country on top of another country when people are living there. And Seth Rogen, who was educated, I think, in Winnipeg at Jewish schools, he said that everything that he was taught was a lie.
Yes.
And I'm actually surprised he wasn't savaged as much as, you know, that sort of statement could have been. Savaged.
Yes.
So it just goes to show you, those people, they don't really eat their own. You know, that tribe. Once in a while, you know, someone...
Well, that was what Bernie Madoff did wrong, and why he got arrested and thrown in prison, is he was cheating other Jewish people.
Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, Seth Rogen has a lot of weight. You know, if you want to call it that.
Yes.
So he has a lot of worth within the, you know, the banking community and whatnot. Anyway, so that's all I have. It's nice to see that people still call in and complain and whine about other callers. You know.
No, I'm trying to limit that, but, it, you know, Don in Orlando definitely had his, he was in high dudgeon, if you will.
I love some of your callers. I mean, Peter, you got Peter.
Yep.
I mean, way back, you had, what was his name there? The fellow that, John in Barbados. Man,
John in Barbados. Yeah, we miss him.
I miss that guy. Yeah, Justin and that. Anyway, I appreciate your time, Mike. You have a good one.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Ray in Arizona. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I just wanted to call I sent, I fear on Twitter, I sent a couple of emails regarding people. I had mentioned the Canadian situation with Chinese troops, and I got a lot of people were, you know, calling back saying they were just disregarding it. But if you check your Twitter email, you know, I sent some documentation that you might want to take a look at.
Well, somebody sent me one article making the claim. But again, I think it's fake news, and I think it's a false trail to trip up independent media and make us look foolish.
Maybe so. It's possible, but then again, you've got the CCP, the UN. This is their final shot to take it. I don't think that they're going to invade, but what we're seeing is that the CCP is likely going to move on Taiwan. And if they have these troops stationed...
That I would agree on. That one I would agree on.
Right. And so this is a way of making us back off, and because it wouldn't make sense for China to actually try to instigate World War III, just trying to take over the United States when it'd be better off solidifying their position in that part of the world.
Well, Ray, let me ask you a question. Now, obviously, China can't use commercial airlines because they're not going to allow the soldiers on carrying their guns and grenades and bazookas and heavy equipment here. So China would have to have sent a convoy or several convoys across the Pacific Ocean to the shores of Canada to unload this army we're all being told is up there. Do you think they could really do that without being spotted by U.S. surveillance satellites?
Well, if you look at some of the documentation I sent you, that they actually have a treaty with Canada that they can have a contingent of troops there to guard their assets that they have bought in Canada. This was just recent, a couple of years ago. This is why you won't see this kind of stuff in the mainstream media. That's why the people calling in saying, well, I never saw it, my friends never saw it, it's because they don't go to sources other than anything from Fox to CNN and anything in between.
Well, Ray, I noticed you didn't answer my question.
Well, okay. If you, I think they've been coming in for at least a decade or so. And if you remember the port of Santa Barbara, if you remember the Panama Canal was.
I know the Panama Canal. Ray, we're going to have to take another commercial break. And I'm going to have to let you go. We still got callers on the line. I'm going to try and get to all of them after these words from our sponsors.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal, good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty.
Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our program today. Now, normally we have a one call per caller per day rule here, but Layla got kind of attacked, and we're going to take a call from her because she wants to respond. So, Layla, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Mike. Thank you for the opportunity. Don from Orlando is a Zionist shill and the kind of man who has betrayed America that has hosted him. Now, with regard to my ancestry, I never said I was a Jew. I would not want to be a Jew. I am actually, my ancestry is Aramean. There were numerous Arameans, and if you read the Bible, you will see that. Furthermore, if you read Chronicles 1, book 3, chapter verse 19, my family's names are there as the people who were brought back from Babylon. But we were brought back not as Jews in the modern sense of the word, the Ashkenazi aggressive destroyers and usurpers of countries. We came back as the people of Bethlehem. Now, we were also Canaanites. Now, National Geographic did a DNA survey of Canaanite remains, and they found that in the people of Lebanon, those same genetic signals are still present in today's Lebanese. Now, my ancestry is 80% Levantine, 4% Coptic, which would be Christian, pre-Arab Egyptian, 2% from Anatolia, and another 2% from Mesopotamia or the Caucasus. I had numerous geneticists look at my ancestry, and some have gone back 10,000 years and also found some Minoan traces, also Etruscan. And when I went to MyHeritage, the Israeli DNA company, they claimed I had 18% Mizrahi Jewish. So it all depends on the agenda. Now, Google is probably, or not Google, but 23andMe was probably the most reliable at the time that I did my first DNA test. And they were the wives of the two Jewish Russian men who owned Google. Who owns Google today, we don't really know. But their research was phenomenally accurate. And the reason I also know that is because those who were alive, I've questioned them, and they have confirmed a lot of what was told to me through the 23andMe DNA site, but also they did health tests at that time before the American Medical Association prevented them from doing health analyses or looking for health predispositions.
Yes.
I was found to have predispositions to diseases that were very common in the area, primarily skin conditions. Fortunately, I don't have any marks or anything from them. But the Dead Sea was known in ancient times as a curative for any kind of skin disease. So people came from all over the world, primarily Europe. These are the things that prove I have been there. My ancestors were there for thousands of years.
Okay.
Whether they were Arameans or...
I hate to do this to you, but the show is over. I'm going to have to let you go. Please calm down, and you did make your point successfully. So this is the end of our show. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. We need your support to keep doing what we're doing. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Truth, truth.